Welcome back to another episode of The Political Life. We hope you are all doing well. Today we have on Cass Holloway. Cass is the head of public enterprise at Unquark, a no-code platform, which we will hopefully learn what that means. Cass is smart. He attended Harvard and University of Chicago Law School. He worked for the legendary, or maybe notorious, Commissioner Henry Stern in New York City, who ran the Parks Department. He was known as StarQuest. He gave everyone a park nickname. And after clerking at the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals and stints at Cravath and Debevoise, he worked for Mayor Bloomberg, which I have a feeling maybe set him on his path to where he is today. So Cass, welcome.
Thank you so much, Jim. Great to be here and really appreciate the opportunity.
So we had Cass on our list of guests to have. We found his company, Unquark, very interesting and what he was doing. And I think while I sent him an invitation, at the same time, I heard him on Bradley Tusk's podcast, Firewall. We've had Bradley on this show, and we've recorded episodes in New York City, and we're a big fan of Tusk. And so right after that, I contacted Cass and said, we have to have you on. So Cass, my first question is, dive right into the deep end. What was your park nickname?
My park nickname was Wellspring. My full name is Caswell Francis Holloway IV. And so Henry thought Caswell Spring, and it was born. And I was the 618th name that Henry gave out. He counted every one.
And he remembered them.
Oh, he remembered, he generally would remember the details of when, the circumstances of giving out an A. And I don't know if he remembered the number of every single one, but numbers played an important in Henry's life and subsequent, and as a result, mine.
Well, on the interview with Bradley Tusk, Bradley touched on Henry a little bit, and he just seems like an incredibly unique individual. And Bradley said he learned a lot from him and that he had many rules. And I'm not sure the rules went in any kind of order. I'm not sure they were written down. What were some of your favorite rules that Henry had?
These were unwritten rules, and they were organized by Henry's own unique association of some of them are aphorisms or sayings or idiomatic expressions that people know. Others are just made up from him, but they generally, there's some logic to the numbering. So for example, one of the ones that I really liked was rule 12G, 12 letters. First word begins with G, and that is go to the scene. And that is a rule that is basically means check it out for yourself. Go get onto the ground, get out there, see what's going on, and learn the facts and circumstances on your own. So I take that as kind of a mantra for me. I consider myself a pretty hands-on manager.
Well, it's great advice. And for those of us that are in the lobbying or government relations world, there's nothing really more important than getting up to your capital, your state capital, or Washington, D.C., or going to events where you see people one-on-one, because you learn so much and to see it firsthand. I think that's great advice. So you worked for Commissioner Stern, and you also worked for Mayor Bloomberg. You've obviously had some good jobs in between. I guess I'll jump to Mayor Bloomberg. Is there any similarity between the two, between Commissioner Stern and Mayor Bloomberg, and how they manage things or run things?
So they are quite different. They are both are extremely hardworking. Henry worked every hour of the day and night. So did Mike. And I would say they both built great teams. That is one strong similarity between them, identifying and putting together unique groups of people who really enjoyed working together and stayed together for a long time. The associations that I have from my Henry days, which really was only 3 years, are some of the longest lasting of my professional and personal life. And same really with the Bloomberg, I consider it the Bloomberg family is the same. And that really is a testament to Mike and to Henry's ability to attract talent and make it effective.
Yeah, but why do you think that is? Because if, you know, there are a lot of organizations that can attract talent. You know, we're up here in Connecticut, and there's a lot of, Senator Dodd seems to have that kind of loyalty and following with people that worked for him. So what do you think it is about people like Commissioner Stern and Mayor Bloomberg that create that type of atmosphere or that loyalty?
I think a key element of it is trust and loyalty and having your people's back. I would say both Mike and Henry delegated to a tremendous extent once they, you know, Mike clearly, you know, if you found yourself in the positions that I was in, I knew there was some level of trust there. And then over time, I was fortunate to be able to be in a number of different roles. By the time I was deputy mayor for operations, you know, Mike really had trust in my judgment. And I knew that if I was doing that, I would have his support for the things that I was trying to do to advance what the administration wanted to get done. Henry was the same way. And I think people are attracted to that because for the obvious reason that, number one, it enables you to get stuff done. And two, it's a good environment to work in. And so I think that's a big part of it.
So you spent six, so give our listeners a little bit, I mean, that's a, first I would encourage our listeners to go check out Cass's interview with Bradley Tusk on Firewall. It's a great interview. And give our listeners a sense of what that job was like. Because, you know, I'm not sure the job title does it justice. I mean, that is an enormous job with enormous responsibilities.
Oh, the deputy mayor job?
Yeah.
I was going to say, do you mean working for Henry? Both of them.
No. not that that wasn't intense, I'm sure.
No,
it was.
It was intense. They both were intense. You know, deputy mayor for operations obviously is a huge job. Now, I will say that everything at that level is a team effort. But for me, the job was to ensure really that the core, you know, Mike, as a manager, I'll say this. My job wasn't to tell the sanitation commissioner, John Doherty, how to plow the snow. You know, Mike took in the same way that he would, you know, delegate and trust me. He expected his commissioners to do their core jobs and really did not want, you know, City Hall was supposed to be a help, not a hindrance. So what I focused on was the both kind of the interagency, intergovernmental, strategic goals of the administration, whether it was the solid waste management plan or working on some of the recovery elements from 9/11 in the first, you know, in his second term when I joined the administration. And then in the third term, huge focus on sustainability and the implementation of Plan YC. And then, of course, Hurricane Sandy happened and we had to then develop a plan. Not only did we have the immediate response, but we developed a plan that became a blueprint, I think, for other cities to make New York City more resilient to the realities of climate change and what the future was going to hold. So, and then, of course, there's the day-to-day of just making sure that core city services are being delivered. And it was never a dull moment, I'll tell you that.
So, Kaz, so you're leaving the Bloomberg administration, and, I mean, you have an incredible resume, an incredible education background. How are you deciding what to do and how do you end up at Uncork?
Okay, so right after the administration, I was lucky. Mike, I had worked with Mike for then at that point, 8 years. And, you know, we found a great opportunity at the company, Bloomberg LP. And so for just over 5 years, I worked at the company. I ran a group called Global Technical Operations, which was frontline customer support globally for the terminal, which is the Bloomberg terminal that really made Mike, and other, you know, electronic trading operations and other things. Learned a tremendous amount about delivering technology as a product, supporting it for clients. And I will say that, you know, Bloomberg terminal users are highly demanding clientele, but that was fine because so are New Yorkers. And then Uncork really was an opportunity that came to me through some, you know, people that I had worked with who had, you know, been in other roles. Everybody at Uncork who's on the management team has actually had another career, at least one. Gary Hoberman is our founder and CEO. He had been CIO of MetLife. He was at Citi for 17 years. Our CTO was a McKinsey, had been a McKinsey partner. And The platform is a no-code platform. It enables you to build applications without writing code. And it had been built to serve initially the insurance and financial services industry. I went in one day and had lunch with, you know, my friend who was the CTO of the company, took a look at the platform and said, wow, you know, this is something that I think is all purpose. And I would have killed for it when I was deputy mayor for operations or commissioner of the water and sewer utility DEP. And at that point, Gary said, great, well, why don't you come over and start a business? And I thought about it long and hard. I loved working with and for Mike Bloomberg, you know, but at a certain point you get to a stage and say, well, what could I do on my own? You know, what could I go and try to do? And it was the right combination of opportunity and timing. And so here I am.
And what are your responsibilities there?
So I really literally am taking this platform. You know, when I came to the company, we already have built the beginnings of a very good clientele in financial services and insurance. That includes Goldman Sachs, Liberty Mutual, other, you know, 30 other brands that you would have heard of. And I am taking the platform to the public sector, city, state, local, state, and federal government, also to the healthcare sector, and then to what we think about as the call it economic development area, where it's really an ecosystem of government lenders and, you know, whether it's affordable housing or other kinds of economic real estate development, the platform really can service that ecosystem really well too. And just to go in terms of what I had in mind, the reason that I thought that the platform, you know, really that it caught my attention to begin with was exactly for the case that we are now supporting in New York City. We've been fortunate enough to help with some of the technology supporting the COVID response. We're also doing that in Washington, D.C. And the reason I think that we were able to do that is because in one case, within 72 hours, we were able to basically build and deploy an application that is helping the city to deliver food to the food insecure. We're doing the same thing in Washington, D.C. And so to be able to do that quickly certainly is a big contrast to when I was, you know, following Hurricane Sandy. Just one of the things that I remember most distinctly is that it took us a couple of months to set up the technology we needed to basically process and then support and properly document, you know, and track what resources we were giving to who and what projects we were doing to bring the city back.
And so why is this so easy? When you say it's a no-code platform, the food insecure example that you gave, what is it about OneQuark that makes it so easy for the end user in City Hall or in state government?
So a couple of elements. The first is that the core of what you build in OneQuark, you do through a set of intuitive drag and drop tools. And that's not just, say, building a form to take in information, like, say, a set of questions about a person to see if they qualify to receive food through a food program in Washington, D.C. Then once you take in that information, you need that information to go somewhere to be processed. You know, if they qualify, then you need to associate that data with a meal that needs to be delivered to an address. And the way that you build that is through another set of drag and drop tools where you create workflows. So somebody like me, who's not a technologist, I could never code that, but I can build it in OneQuark. And in fact, I build my own demos in OneQuark, because if you understand the business process or the service you're trying to deliver, you essentially can build that in OneQuark. And what you need to understand is your business. That, I think, is one of the key distinguishing factors, you know, of OneQuark. You really kind of abstract away from that software engineering coding level. Now, you still need technologists, and I can say more about that. But that, I think, is one of the most powerful parts of the platform. The second part is we integrate very easily with legacy systems. And I'm not sure how familiar you are with the technology landscape in government, but one of the agencies I had in my portfolio was the Department of Information Technology and Telecommunications. But every city agency, DEP, you know, DOT, makes technology investments, and then those technology investments become legacy. And one thing that becomes a tremendous challenge to city, state, federal agencies. And this is true in the private sector as well, by the way, but particularly true in government, is that those systems then become an anchor or a huge blocker if you have to replace that entire system in order to advance to the next, you know, to adopt the next level of technology. And with Uncork, basically, it enables you, because we can integrate so easily with legacy systems, it enables you to decouple those two things, the legacy infrastructure versus the service you want to try to now deliver digitally. You can still do that and leverage your existing technology to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine what's going on behind the scenes at your company to create that kind of platform where you can create your own demo.
It's pretty incredible. In fact, it's very funny because I've, you know, done some demos for people who know me, and I'll say, oh, by the way, I built this. And they'll be like, whoa, you built it? All right, fine. You have my attention. Because they know that I'm not a technologist.
And so tell us about the founder. He seems incredibly interesting. The fact that he had this idea and thought of it and created it. I can't imagine. Well, first, how many employees are there? And how many people do you have doing code in the background?
So it's interesting. We have, my goodness, the company has grown a tremendous amount. We had, you know, far fewer than 100 when I joined, and it was about a year ago. And I think we're almost at 300 now. And that's a year later. And wow. So in terms of coding, we have, I would say there's a number of engineers, but the people who also work with our clients to basically build applications, most of them are not software engineers. Most of them are people who really understand the businesses that we, you know, of the clients that we support. So we have, you know, financial services, project managers and implementers or configurators, as we call them, because rather than coding, we call what you do in Uncork is essentially configuration. You make a series of decisions about how you're going to deal with information that somebody is going to provide, and then what actions are going to be taken on the basis of that information. And, you know, really for people who understand, whether it's banking or for, in my case, government, which covers a lot of ground, obviously, but there's a licensing process that we've developed where we essentially took something that, you know, used to happen in person and now it is happening virtually. And we were basically able to integrate a series of services so that you could take something that used to be totally paper-based and that you did in person in a city office. Now you can do through a quick interview on the phone, sign a document digitally, and get a license issued all in 15 minutes. And we built that in 2 weeks. So let me say a little bit about Gary, because you're right. He is an incredibly, obviously, extremely smart.
In our show, I watched a few YouTube videos of him. Obviously incredibly bright and just such a nice presence about him.
The culture that he's creating at Uncork is really, it's one of those things. Like, why do you like working with and for somebody? But I would say if Gary was here, he would say that Uncork, I think, is the third or fourth attempt that he had made at building a platform like this. The animating principle for Gary behind Uncork is that he is a technologist, a hardcore technologist. He spent his career before Uncork building systems, very complex systems, for people within big companies like Citibank and MetLife, and having the following problem happen over and over. Business says, I need X. Technology team goes and builds X. By the time X is delivered, they don't need X anymore. They need Y. Or they didn't really know in the first place that what they needed was Y, or some combination of X and Y. And what he concluded is that business really doesn't know what they need until they see it actually working in what we call production.
Yep.
You know, when you go live with software, you put it into production. And so how do you build a platform that can respond at that speed and be that nimble? It's not easy to do. And he had done some version of it internally at his prior companies. And then he made the decision a couple of years ago that the only way he was really going to be able to go for it was if he left and did it, you know, outside of the context of a big corporation. And so now we have Uncork, which is great because for me, and I think Gary has even seen, the platform has applications across just about any industry or sector. And what it means is there's still a huge role for technologists and software engineers, but they can focus on solving problems that require software engineers. Most of what you're doing when you're building software is creating a set of repeatable, you know, you're repeating a process. I need information. I need to bring it in. I need to apply some business rules to it. I need to then push the, you know, push on the basis of those rules. I need to push that information to another place. I need that to be operated on. And then I need to give somebody something. In my context, it could be a license. It could be a meal. It could be SNAP benefits. But all of that stuff, you know, you can do in Uncork without writing code.
Yeah, it's, I mean, to put that kind of power in the hands of the end user is really incredible. I mean, you, as you indicated, the time that you cut down and the cost and the fact that, you know, the product, when they get it, you know, they're getting what they want and they're not waiting 2 months and get something that they don't want or don't need. And they've already spent an enormous amount of money. Yeah, it's really incredible. And we'll include in the show notes some of his YouTube speeches. He's really got a nice way about him. And so you've had so many interesting jobs. I mean, do you have a certain philosophy or a certain approach to your work that you've learned over the years?
That's an interesting question. I think I said at the beginning, you know, my one of those management rules that Henry taught me, which is go to the scene, is understand the facts on the ground is one of my important things. I will say at Uncork, there are some people who say, wow, you know, he's had an interesting career, you know, but what? Where's the logic to it? And to me, Uncork really is a natural extension of what I have tried, you know, to do, what I enjoy doing, which is really trying to deliver services fundamentally to the public better and more effectively and more efficiently. And technology, I think, is obviously a more and more important part of that. And what I saw in this platform was an opportunity to potentially, what I see in it is giving, as you say, people in government the power to basically deliver public services digitally and give them the power to do it. And what's cool is it's the same platform that Goldman Sachs is using. It's the same platform that Liberty Mutual is using. You know, one of the things that if you look at in government versus the private sector, people say all the time, oh, wow, well, the public sector can't afford, you know, the same kind of talent that the private sector has. Two observations about that. One is I've met some of the best technologists I've ever met come across in the public sector, but it is true that, you know, when it comes to what you're able to pay for top talent, the public and the private sector can't compete. What Uncork does is level the playing field, because if you understand your business, if you understand what you're trying to deliver in terms of a service or a business outcome, you can use Uncork to build that digitally and deliver it. And, you know, that's awesome. And it's also a lot of fun, I will say.
Oh, really? So,
yeah, I get a tremendous amount of satisfaction out of just give a little bit of detail on food. And this is all in the public. You know, we built the system over a weekend. We launched on a Monday. On Tuesday, we delivered 15 meals, and they're delivering well over 500,000 meals a day now through the platform.
That's incredible.
And that's another cool thing about Uncork. It's really built for enterprise. It's built for large, complex organizations who need to operate at scale. And for me, there's no better scale or bigger scale or anywhere, by the way, that I'd rather do it than New York City. Now, of course, you know, we're going to do it in a lot of other places too, and we already are. Washington, D.C., is using Uncork, and we have a number of other places that we're in and we want to be in, but it's a lot of fun, you know, because it also takes away the people are intimidated by technology or think that they, you know, there's a tremendous dependence, I think, in the public sector also on third parties who, you know, you need to hire in order to get high quality technology. And that's not to say that there's not a role for that. There is, but it's not healthy for it to be something that you're dependent on. And I think, you know, Uncork can go a long way towards reducing or eliminating that dependence.
Yeah. And you make a good point about the legacy systems in government. You know, they create these systems decades ago, and they have these systems in place, and they have very limited capital budgets. And to change that or to move on from that is very, very difficult. And so something like Uncork could really help bridge that gap and help get them there. I bet it's being well received, and I bet you're getting a lot of phone calls during this COVID crisis.
It has been an opportunity to me. I'm just happy that kind of the thesis that I had coming in, which was that this would enable the delivery of real solutions with this kind of speed to meet a crisis need. We've been able to do that, and it's a tremendous honor and privilege to be able to do that. But we can do that with core systems, and we are. So it's it has been a great experience. I'm obviously a believer in the firm and the product, but it's also a great set of people. I will say that the management team, and it's a fun place to work. And so it does also continue my experience of the best experiences I've had have been where you have a great team of people who are trying to get the same thing done.
You've had some great bosses. Do you have a trick to asking certain questions before you decide to go work somewhere to get a sense of what the place is like?
Whoa!
You must, because away. you've had some pretty good jobs. So this can't just be dumb luck.
Oh well, you know, let me think about that for a minute.
And while you're thinking about that, Unquark is still privately held, 300 employees. You're based in New York City?
Yes. We are based in New York City. We are in just west of Union Square, and it is great. One thing I'll say, one of the, I think, great legacies of Mike Bloomberg is the Cornell-Technion partnership that brought to Roosevelt Island a major addition to the education landscape in New York City. And, you know, the hypothesis was that if we train more technologists in New York City, you know, more people will build their businesses in New York City. And I think that's bearing out. And so it's exciting to be part of that as well.
Yeah. And boy, in New York City is just, I mean, obviously the pre-COVID has just become an incredible city with so much going on and a real tech presence. It's really, it's done quite well. Now, do you offer internships in your office, your space?
We do, actually, we do. I think we're full for the summer, but we absolutely do. And we are looking for talent across the spectrum. So for any listeners who want to code and who want to know code, we are in the market.
So we have mostly, you know, government relations type people interested in politics. So do you have those types of people, that type of need for internships?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Typically in the summer, I would guess. So people can focus on next summer, or maybe if you're going to college in New York City, you can reach out to Cass. Do you want to try the answer for the questions or the things that you probe when you are looking to work somewhere?
Yeah. So, you know, I actually focus a lot on meeting the leadership team and understanding, is this an opportunity where, number one, I know what I'm going to be trying to do? And there's a leadership team that supports that and is going to be, you know, give the resources and autonomy to do it. And when you're starting, and I, by the way, they took a tremendous chance on me. I mean, yes, I have a good resume. I've had good jobs. I've never sold anything. And I basically, you know, I'm in the software sales business. You know, I need to convince, we have a sales organization and, you know, we have a sales team, but fundamentally, like, I need to help develop what we call, you know, use cases for our product in a new sector and then convince people to use it. And Gary took a huge chance because there's a lot in my resume, but that's not one of them. Like, I've never been in software sales. So that was awesome. Like, their willingness to take that chance on me. But also, you know, it's, you know, it requires a lot of resources and you're, you know, for a long time, you're not going to sell anything.
Right.
But the team was very committed and has been very committed to making this work because I think they believed in that they've bought into the vision and the expansion of this platform into this space. And I'm just lucky because I think over the course of the last 3 or 4 months with what we've been able to do in a couple of big places in the country, you know, at least the initial indications are it looks good, right? We can do it. We can deliver. And we can deliver at a speed with a flexibility. And one thing about the platform, if you look at, for example, you can find kind of, yeah, you won't know that you're using Unquark. Like if you're using our application to, you know, see if you qualify for assistance for any kind of COVID support, COVID-related support in DC or New York, the word uncork, you're not going to see it. It's going to look and feel like you're dealing with the city of Washington, D.C. or New York. And that's also cool because for me, making it the platform enables you to see it, you know, your team, it feels like a natural extension of what the services the city is providing. And that's great.
That is great. And the clients must really like that aspect of it. Well, Cass, I would say that Gary did not take much of a chance. I think he probably has that adage that find good, smart people and they will figure it out. And I think that's what he's probably done with you. So it has been great having you on and we appreciate it. We're coming to you during the COVID crisis and everybody's out of their office. So we've had to juggle to make the Wi-Fi work during this interview. And we appreciate your patience. And to our listeners, don't forget, you can follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can sign up for our Monday morning email at thepoliticallife.net. It comes out every Monday with the show, and it has some great information in there, so you can sign up for that. So we hope you have a great week, and we will see you next Monday. Thanks, Cass.
Thank you, Jim.